Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are in the middle of our week in this Easter season. We're reading the Psalms. We're planting ourselves in the Word of God in 2 Peter chapter 1. As always, we've gotten through a couple verses in a couple of days, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, about God's divine power that lives in us and how the knowledge of God living and alive, you know, how many more synonyms for living could I say? A living and alive relationship with God, knowing Jesus, fills us with divine power, which grants us access to everything that pertains to life and godliness. And through this, we have been called to a great call, to God's glory, to His excellence. And this is sustained for us. We live in this reality through holding on to God's very precious and great promises. This is what Peter is communicating to us. Here in just these few verses, this is what Peter is communicating to us. And you see kind of how it's a process. This is what we've been talking about the last couple of days and how it's building, how it's a process, how we're in a relationship with the Lord. His divine power enters us. It grants us access to a new way of life, to God's way of life. And then we're sustained with the calling that God has for us through His promises, that He loves us, that He won't forsake us, that He has created us as a new creation, all of these different things. And so we're going to dive back into this word today, and it just keeps getting better. It keeps getting more rich. It keeps getting more powerful. And so we want to continue to sink our teeth in so that we can actually live in the reality of the resurrection, not just in this season. It's like we live in the celebratory season, and sometimes we just celebrate Easter by like eating a piece of chocolate because we gave it up. And I'm not saying that's not like a good thing to do. I love chocolate. I love having treats. But to say, okay, we're living in this Easter reality, and that means a change of behavior in me. That means joy. That means all of these different things. That means holding on to God's great and precious promises. So let's start with our Psalm chapter 3. And we're going to read and pray the psalm, and then we're going to dive back into what Peter is saying to us. So if you'll join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. For thou dost smite all my enemies on the cheek. Thou dost break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Thy blessings be upon thy people. Lord Jesus, today, maybe some of us as we're listening, we're not in a resurrection mood. Maybe we're not in an excited mood. Maybe we're weighed down by the adversity that we're facing. Maybe we feel discouraged by our foes. Maybe we feel discouraged by the hard circumstances that are coming up in our lives. And Lord, we just choose to trust you today, to go to you before we go to others, to go to you before we get discouraged, that you are our strength and our shield. And Lord, we live in the reality that deliverance belongs to you. You are the deliverer. We cannot deliver others. We cannot deliver ourselves. Deliverance belongs to you. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love this psalm today because so often, even for me, when I'm trying to live in this risen reality, in the reality of God's very great and precious promises, I think what I can run up against so often, and maybe you can relate to this, what I can run up against so often is like, man, but my circumstances don't feel like God's promises are panning out for me. And for me, I've had a couple really challenging relationships in my life recently, and it just feels like this wall, and it feels like, man, like, Lord, many are my foes that are rising against me. And just remembering that the Lord is my glory, that he's a lifter of my head. That's so beautiful. And I think the Lord's like encouraging us and encouraging me to go to the Lord. Stop going to others first, but thou, O Lord, you have a great shield around me. You're my glory. You are the lifter of my head. I cry to you, cry out to the Lord. Maybe you're like, man, I can't live in these promises. Cry out to the Lord. Maybe you're like, yeah, it's Easter season. I don't feel God's divine power working within me. All of this kind of stuff. My glory, the lift, Lord, you lift my head. I can't even lift my own head. You answer me. And to remember the Lord delivers. I think there's situations in my life I've been looking at. Maybe you need this encouragement today. That divine power, the divine power we've been talking about. It's not just like a power to be excited, but it's deliverance. The power to be delivered, to break chains. The power to have chains broken. Amen. So go to the Lord, cry out to him today. So let's go back to our text. I'm not going to read the whole thing today. I'm going to pick up where we left off so that we can get into a big part of the meat of this. So I'm going to start in verse 4. I'm going to go to verse 7, 4 through 7, which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. We talked about that yesterday, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, I ended up going through 8 because I just got caught up. I was like, I got to keep going. So we ended yesterday saying God has these very precious and great promises for you. And then Peter says it's through these promises that you escape the corruption of the world. So God, he sent his son into the world to enter into the corruption of death, to free us from the corruption of death, so we may share in his very divine life, so we become partakers of divine nature. It's this theological reality, and I'm going to get to it, and we're going to dive into it in a second. But first, I want to go to these divine promises have given us, have allowed us to throw off this corruption of the world, that it is through entering into these promises that we throw off and escape the corruption that dominates us. And so many of you are saying, well, what about my circumstances? I don't feel resurrected. I don't feel like these promises are working for me. I don't, you know, it's through the living in these promises. How much do we believe them? How much do we actually believe these promises of God? And when we believe them, we begin living out of them. That means when you're tempted to live in an ungodly way, when you're tempted to have a weak and darkened mind, when you're tempted to walk out of the promises of God, instead of doing that, you choose to live in them. And through that, we escape the corruption that is in the world because of our worldly passions. And when we escape the corruption that's in the world through our worldly passions, what happens? We become partakers in the divine nature. Just a couple catechism quotes. Catechism 460. God became man so that man might become God by grace. Sanctifying grace helps us have a participation in the life of God. Baptism gives us sanctifying grace and makes us partakers in divine nature. The Christian life is living from this new dignity and grace. Virtues flow from grace and help us to live God's life. Living in the promises of God help us to escape corruption and its effects. And then I want to begin to get to this. It says, for what? You have become partakers in the divine nature because of this, for this very reason, make every effort. I want to stop there for a second, because so far what we've been talking about is God's gift to us. Salvation is a free gift.
We don't earn it. God's grace is a free gift. Being a member of God's family is a free gift, but oftentimes we stay there and we actually don't give effort. Effort is not opposed to grace. Striving is. Earning is opposed to grace. Grace invites effort. And so we've received, yes, these promises of God, but then Peter's saying, because you've received all this, try. Work hard. Make every effort. Do everything that you can. Effort, it shows that something is exerted. Exert energy. Exert energy. Try as hard as you can. Be a try hard. It's not casual. It's not like, oh, whatever, I'm not going to try hard at this. No, God is asking you for effort. Effort for what? To supplement faith with virtue. So faith is what? The assurance of things hoped for, and the realization of things that are not seen. So faith is a theological, it's a gift. The theological virtue of faith is a gift from God to see rightly, to believe that he is the Lord, to believe that he is the Christ. We receive this. And Peter's saying, make every effort to supplement, to add onto your faith with what? Virtue. What is virtue? A stable habit or disposition of the soul that makes a person consistently choose to do what is good. Virtue is moral strength trained into you. It's a doing. Virtue comes through doing, unless it's theological virtue, a gift. The other virtues come through doing. So it says, make every effort to habitually do actions that change the disposition of your soul to be turned to what is good and right. So you have faith. You've been given the theological virtue of faith. Make every effort to supplement faith. Do everything in your power to make an effort. Not just an effort, but to make an exerted effort to give energy to choose what is right so you can transform the disposition of your soul. Make every effort to have moral strength trained into you. Faith alone is not enough. You have to work not for salvation, not for justification, not for Jesus' gift on the cross. But once we receive that gift, he's saying you have to make an effort to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. One, first, to supplement faith with virtue, and two, virtue with knowledge. You have to know Christ. Yeah, first you have to know about him. Who was Jesus? What does the church teach? All these different things, but then you have to know him. You have to open yourself up to a living, intimate knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. So friends, these are just two things. We're going to get to the rest of the things tomorrow. But Paul's saying you've received this gift and now you have to roll up your sleeves. Make an effort. Work hard. Put what God has given you to good use. You have been given the gift of faith. Make every effort to supplement faith with virtue, moral strength trained into you. Okay, you have virtue. Make every effort to now supplement your faith and your virtue with knowledge of God, intimate knowledge with him. Tomorrow we're going to pick up and continue this build that Paul does. He's going to tell us what else we need to supplement with. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.